longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you far more than you ever planned to pay. David thought he was doing one thing, but sin kept him longer, and then he committed murder, and then it kept him longer, and he had no idea he was going to lose the kingdom over that. The Bible records him as a man after God's own heart. And so the devil absolutely wants you to be trapped in sin. I learned something this week about boxing. You don't have to be a knockout boxer to affect somebody who is a knockout boxer. I learned that as they step in to hit you, if you can counterpunch at the same time, you use their momentum against them. So how can we stand up? How can we stand up against the enemy when it comes to being trapped in sin? This is what the psalmist wrote. I seek you with my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. Do you want to learn how to counterpunch the devil when he's trying to trap you in sin? Here it is right here. You learn what truth is. And these are hard times. Can we not all agree that these are hard times? There's so much information out there. I'll tell you the second way the devil tries to trip us up. He takes the truth and twists it against God's ways. He takes the truth, and it's not like a knockout punch with sin, but he takes the truth and just turns it. So people will take the word of God, and instead of the word of God directing their life, they'll have their life be directed and then use the word of God how they want it. This is what Peter says about this. I love these verses. And remember, our Lord's patience gives us time to be saved. Some people say, why hasn't God come back? I mean, the world's terrible. Because there are still people who need to know Jesus. There are still people who need to know that there's hope. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him. Speaking of these things in all of his letters, some of his commands are hard to understand, and those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters to mean something quite different. Think about that. They have twisted the word of God to make it mean something different, just as they do with other parts of Scripture. And this will result in their destruction. You already know these, dear friends, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away with the errors of wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in grace and knowledge. Grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. In grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all glory to him both now and forever. You see, what the devil would like to do, he's not running around with a pitchfork and horns. He's hiding in religion. Read the New Testament. There were people who put huge burdens on others, and Jesus said, hey, this isn't the way of me. But Jesus spoke the truth. He hides in religion. He hides in intellectualism. He hides in the arts. He hides in music. His tactics are subtle. They twist the scriptures out of context to explain or prove something that the scriptures were never intended to explain or to prove. But if you don't know the scriptures, how will you know what's right? You have to base your foundation on something. I was in a conversation this week, and of course it goes nowhere. I said, what's hard? And someone said, it's so confusing. I said, I know. Somebody who's a doctor and very intelligent says that I'm going to die of COVID and I better be super careful. Then there's somebody else who's equally as smart who says this is all fake. What do we trust? Well, here's what I trust. In the midst of all of the confusion, this is what Timothy learned from Paul. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ, remember that will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and what you have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I don't know necessarily which doctor to trust here and there, but here's what I do know. I can trust the Lord. I can trust the Lord that he cares for me. I can trust the Lord that he's got a plan for my life. I can trust the Lord that I will not take my last breath until he says it's time for Jim Brewer to take his last breath. I wrote this down. Bottom line, if the scripture is clear, there is no gray area in how we live. You cannot twist the scriptures to accommodate your lifestyle. I am telling you, this is a beautiful time to get your life right with Christ. It's a time to understand the word. It's a time to be people of prayer, because these are desperate times. But we don't necessarily have to be despondent people. And I want to believe what I'm hearing here, and I want to believe what I'm hearing here, but when there's so much conflict, I don't know. You know, I carry a mask with me. I wear a mask half the time. Sometimes I don't wear it. Other times I wear it all the time. I mean, I don't know. You know, the other day Sharon said, Jim, you look kind of dumb. We were out to dinner. When we were sitting outside, I had my mask over my head attached to my ears. I had no idea. I'm thinking, well, I don't know. I'm just wearing the thing. You know, but understand this. There's no confusion with God. He really does care about you. He really does care about me. But you have to understand his word, because you need a basis of truth by which to bounce off other things that come our way. This is what John says. If some claim, I know God, but they don't obey God's commands, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. This is how we know that we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their life as Jesus did. At Hope Church, we've always made it pretty simple and said, you want to know how you're serving God? It's simple. Tell me what you do with your time. Tell me what you do with your talents. Tell me where your treasures are. If none of your time is given to the Lord, none of your talents are given to the Lord, he's gifted all of us. If none of those are given to the Lord, if none of your treasures, if you have no investment in the kingdom of God, then you have to ask yourself, do I really have a relationship with God? So here's what the devil wants to do. He wants you to be trapped in sin so he can destroy you. He wants you to feel the pressure. I don't know really what I believe. I see society. We've just passed this law, and I don't know. We've got to understand the word, because the devil, he's going to twist things. He's going to manipulate things. Here's the third thing that he's going to try to do to you and me. This may not be the punch that will knock you out, but if you get hit enough times, even if it's not a punch to knock you out, you want to give up. And this is where a lot of society is right now. His third tactic of deception is this. He wants you to trade your trust in him for fear. He wants you at this moment in life to panic and not to pray. He wants you to trade your trust in God for anything else that will cause you to fear. He wants you to trade your trust in God. He wants you to swim in a pool of doubt. He wants you to swim in a pool of despair. So you're absolutely worn out. If the devil can't knock you out with sin, and if you don't buy into the fact that this is black and white in the scripture and I'm not gonna lean another direction, he wants just to wear you down. Round after round after round. You can't trust God. Just look what's going on around you. You can't trust God. You better be fearful. This is what I'm trying to tell you, why the scriptures are so important. In 1 Peter, it says this: give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Give all your worries and fears to God, because he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember, your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, strengthen you. He will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen, is what the scripture says. In Psalms 94, the psalmist was struggling. And have you not had struggle? Have I not had struggle? This is what the psalmist said. I cried out, I am slipping. God, I want to be positive, but there's so much negativity. There's so many things that would cause me to fear. I am slipping, but your unfailing love, O Lord, supported me. When doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. Jesus was honest with us. This is not our permanent home. He said, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Do you know that Jesus prayed a powerful prayer? And this prayer was for his followers. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you need to understand that towards the end of Jesus' life, he prayed a very specific prayer for you. And this is what it says. Now I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I come to you, Holy Father. You have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, that they will be united just as we are. Have you ever realized that's a prayer for you? Jesus said, Father, I'm coming, but they're staying here for a little while. Your power raised me from the dead, and I'm going to be with you, but they're staying here. So, God, if I can pray this one thing, this is what I'm asking, that you'll protect them by the power of your name. And the power of your name brings unity. Real faith says this. Real faith says, I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I know who's holding on to tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but I know who brings the new day every day. And while I don't understand what's going to happen tomorrow, I know who does understand, and I'm hanging on. I'm hanging on to God Almighty. the end of our service, after we sing the last song, we're going to receive communion, and we're going to do this in a way that's socially distanced but still holy. On your way out, we'll encourage you to receive communion, but remember that these same punches were thrown at Jesus. The same punches that are trying to hit you and me, trying to knock us off of the faith, were thrown at Jesus. And our communion at the end of service is a reminder that who is going to win has already won. I mean, that's what the scripture says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night Jesus was betrayed, the Lord took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. And he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement, a confirmation with my blood." In other words, I'm doing something new. I want you to have hope. I'm dying for you, that you might believe. But by the way, it's going to be hard. And when I feel like I'm slipping, I truly can call out to God. When people are twisting in society, I know what the truth is. I'm not going to put them down, but I'm going to live what the Bible says, because one day I'm going to have to bow a knee to the King of Kings. And I'm going to do what the Bible says. We understand what our opponent is trying to do. And that way we live our best and fight our best living in the ring. We know his right hook is the hook of division. He wants us to be divided. We also know that he throws a pretty mean uppercut, and he wants to trap you in sin. And if he can't trap you in sin, he's going to twist the scriptures and try to make you confused as to what is right and what is wrong. And if we don't trust that lie and we duck that punch, I promise you this punch is coming. Panic. You don't have time to pray. Panic. He wants to trade anything he can in your mind to cause you to swim in a pool of despair. He wants you and me to be despondent. He wants us to take our focus off of God Almighty, who sent his son to die for you and me. He wants us to put our focus on fear. What's going to happen? I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm going to square my shoulders with the one who holds tomorrow. Then I'm wrapping things up right now. I remember this old hymn. It's like old school, like way old school. But you'll know this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Come on, baby. That's the first time in my life I think I've sung in church and they didn't tell me to quit. But you know, think about that. I know it's hard. And I know there's division, and I know who's behind it. And I know he wants to trap us. And even a man of God like David got knocked out in sin. But if he can't knock us out, he's going to try to twist the truth and pressure us to compromise what we know is right. And if he can't do that, he's going to try to scare heaven out of us and make us fear. But on Christ, that solid rock is where we're going to stand. Because all other ground, it truly is sinking sand. Those who are going to lead us in our last song, I'll invite you to come at this time, and I want to pray. I want to pray a blessing on you here at Hope Church. I want to pray a blessing on you at home. I love every single one of you. And it's an honor to serve as your pastor. I absolutely love you. I care about you. And I want to pray that God will bless you. Father, thank you that you have not abandoned us. And the devil wants to divide us, and he wants to deceive us. And in the midst of it, there you are. Your kindness leads us to repentance. We can trust you. We can trust you with all of our hearts, lean not on our own understanding. We can acknowledge you in all of our ways, and it's a fact that you will direct our path. That's what we ask you for now. God, I thank you for the Hope Church at home watching, and I pray for them specifically. Bless them, Lord. Keep them strong. Keep them healthy. Give them hope. I pray for us who are here in the building that you would give us hope. That on that Christ, that solid rock, that's where we would stand. Because it's true, everything around us is sinking sand. And Jesus, as we receive communion at the end of service, may we just pause for a moment and thank you that your body was broken that we might be whole, and that your blood was shed that we might be forgiven, and that's a new, it's a new day in you. God, bless and keep, and may your face radiate upon all of those who are here and at home. In Jesus, your precious name, we pray.